I just want to acknowledge my co-authors on this. So it's kind of a group effort using this technology in a number of different classes. I'm going to talk specifically about a large introductory course. And Tom Michaels, faculty member in our department who typically teaches that course. Selshen Guzi is now a professor, assistant professor at Purdue. Josh Friel, former grad student of mine, now with Toro, taught the class this semester that I'm going to talk about. And then Clement Dabney is another grad student who worked on this project. So when I think about teaching horticulture, a lot of us want to teach like this, right? We want to be outside. We want the students to gather around us as we show them different plants and discuss the challenges of growing plants. And in a big introductory course, a lot of times we just end up teaching like this due to challenges of numbers, right? You have 100 or 200 students. You pack them into a lecture hall, and it's hard to teach them it's hard to bring these students outside and show them the plants in the actual landscapes. So we have a lot of really great landscape areas on our campus, the St. Paul campus of the University of Minnesota, and we like to utilize them as much as possible, but we have a major issue in Minnesota. It snows a lot. So spring semester, for instance, the last few years, we've had snow almost right up to the end of the semester. So it gets very challenging to utilize outdoor teaching spaces. And in the fall, even if you want to use outdoor teaching spaces, you know, you're very dependent on weather to bring students out and show them these landscapes and discuss the plants and the way they're growing. So we started thinking about this problem, and at the time we were kind of thinking about some ways that we might do some research related to teaching and learning. And we started seeing this term augmented reality pop up in the literature. So you could define it as on the slide here, a situation in which a real-world context is dynamically overlaid with coherent location or context-sensitive virtual information. So a lot of you have probably experienced this in some way on a smartphone or what have you, just in your daily lives. Now, if you think about how you might use augmented reality for teaching horticulture, there's some really kind of primitive ways you might do it. You might put a number in front of a tree, and then students can get information based on that number on their mobile device. You might have a picture of a landscape that pops up on a student's phone, and maybe some map locations on that picture that the student could then touch and get more information, or maybe a short video that describes the plants or the features of that landscape. Here's an example of an app called Twin Cities Trees, where they have, you know, a map that you can access, and then it has locations where different trees are located. You can go to those locations. The GPS knows where you are. The information about the tree pops up. You can find more information or videos on your phone. QR codes, kind of an example of how you might use this technology, right? They could be, you could put a QR code in front of a tree or in front of a turf area. A student could access information about that turf area on their smartphone. So there's a lot of different ways that augmented reality is delivered. Here's just a few examples. Leaf snap, some of you may have heard of. That's the closest thing to what we're talking about in terms of plants. Leaf snap, you take a picture of a leaf and the app theoretically tells you what tree it is. It's probably not perfect, but it's kind of the idea of being, you know, what we really ultimately would like to see is a student is walking around campus with their smartphone and looking through their smartphone, through their camera, and as they're seeing objects, information about those plants or that landscape is popping up on their phone. It's a little bit of a challenge because a lot of these augmented reality apps, for instance, Arasma, which some of you may have played around with, work pretty well, but the way you program them, they work really well for fixed objects. So if I had my phone and I was looking at that open door there, information could come up based on that open door if somebody had programmed that in, and it's quite easy to set those up. But it's difficult with plants because they're very dynamic. They change during the day even, different shading and lights and things like that. So outdoor, we lack fixed objects, and we're also dealing with outdoor spaces where light is a concern. The application we decided to use is called Aeris. So Aeris allows for the creation of mobile games, tours, and interactive stories. One thing we liked about it was open source. It seemed pretty well funded as well. University of Wisconsin was heavily involved in the development of this app. They have a really good team of people developers and very passionate people working on the app, and a pretty big community of users, so it was very easy to get information about how to develop these experiences and so forth on message boards. One major problem, though, it was only available on iOS, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as I go through the talk. So we found this app. We thought, well, let's see if we can figure out a way to, you know, can we use Aris or a similar app? You know, we're using Aris, but when we look at the data that we collected, I think it's instructive for any kind of augmented reality type experience that you might want to use in teaching. So can we use Aris to teach horticulture? Can students learn better? What do students think about this technology? So we were able to get funded USDA Higher Education Challenge grants. So what we did was we started out by developing two Aris experiences for fall of 2013. Then we surveyed the students after each experience. After experience one, we looked at the data, made some changes to what we had planned for experience two. After experience two, we looked at the data again, surveyed the students, looked at the data, and then used that information to develop exercises for the experiences for this fall. So as I mentioned earlier, we did this in a rather large introductory horticultural science course, Hort 1001 Plant Propagation. Usually about 120 to 150 students take this course. So it's large enrollment, and it's mainly non-major. So it's required for our majors, but most of the students on a semester-to-semester basis are outside of our college even. So these are a lot of liberal arts students, business students, and so forth. And a lot of you have courses like this in your department. So it's kind of an introduction to the discipline. Sometimes it serves as a way to draw students to our major as well, so it's an important course for our department and for our major. This particular section of plant propagation is taught in a hybrid format, so the instructor only sees the student once a week. So there's a lecture, it's more of a flip model. Lectures are all online. Students meet with the instructor one time a week for discussion, small group activity, things like that. So the first activity that we put together, so this, we met pretty much weekly as these experiences were being developed, and we wanted to focus on plant morphology, so plant parts, learning different plant parts, morphological features of plants. This was an important learning objective of the course. We also thought it might be a good way to introduce students to faculty members in the department, the kind of research that horticultural scientists might do. We utilized a display and trial garden that is on our campus. I showed a picture of it earlier in the presentation. And in this case, we used kind of the interactive tour function of Aris. So we had students kind of walk through the landscape, go to different areas. They would get information, be asked questions. They would input data and so forth. So here's how it would look on the phone. So the blue dots, you know, that's my office. But so if the student was in Alderman, our building, the blue dot would show up, and you can see where they have to walk to the game guide, the introduction, in the garden. So their GPS on their phone or iPad would instruct them on where they need to go. They would go get information from the game guide. The game guide would tell them the next task. They might go to a plaque. They're called plaques that for one of these faculty members. Then they would learn a little bit about the faculty member's research. There could be a video there. There could be some information there. In this case, there's a little quiz question based on things that we wanted the student to learn. The student would answer the question. If it was incorrect, we would give them some corrective information. If not, they would move on. Here's a case where students were learning about leaf attachment to the stem. So there's a picture with examples, and they'd already learned this in class. So this was kind of reinforcing some of the things they were learning in the lecture. And then here, it tells them to go find an example of some of these leaf attachment types. So they would go find an example, take a picture, upload it into Aris, and then we could look at it later to see if they had completed the activity properly. You can also set it up so they can they can gain points or objects during the interactive tour. Maybe there's, you know, some reward if they get a certain number of points. So we spent a lot of time really worrying about the nuts and bolts of the actual game or interactive tour, making sure it was all set up right and software worked and things like that. In the end, the students didn't really care for it that much. We did get some positive feedback. So students liked, I think they liked the idea of this, but just not the execution in this case. So they liked being outside learning. They liked the what we called the photo challenges, where they were given a task and had to take a photo and upload it. And they liked that it was a little different than traditional classroom teaching. However, we got a ton of comments about technology issues. So we had selected the Hort Display and Trail Garden because we thought the Wi-Fi was good enough out there. We had actually gotten an internal grant from the university to beef up the Wi-Fi. And apparently whoever put the beefed up Wi-Fi in didn't do a very good job. So you could go out there, you know, as an individual user, you could go out there. And, you know, when I went out there, it was fine. But when you had multiple students out there or certain times of the day or whatever, there were problems. So we were really worried about, you know, making sure there was good information being delivered and, you know, interesting quiz questions and stuff. And in reality, it was all the problems were technology problems. And it really brought down the overall attitudes of the students about the experience. So once we got that information and that data, we were able to redesign for the second experience. The second activity had to do with experimental design. So as part of this course, students are just given a very general overview to experimental design. We decided to do it in the greenhouse. We knew that the Wi-Fi was better in the greenhouse. And we also knew from the first experience that students wanted more instruction about how to do the ARIS activity. And they wanted more instruction about what was going on. So we were much more intentional about instruction, took some time out of class to kind of just briefly go over how to use ARIS properly during that one time a week. And then developed videos very carefully explaining kind of what they were supposed to learn through this experience, and videos introducing them to the greenhouse and microenvironments and things like that. And then we had a set of plants, and we told students, okay, take this set of plants and show us a poor experimental design, take a picture, upload it, tell us why it's poor, and then rearrange the plants to make a good example of experimental design, upload the picture, tell us why it's good. And then students could actually go look at other students' responses and vote if they thought they were good, if they did a good job with the activity. So here we've got the set of pots. There was a QR code for them to access the videos directly on their phones if they wanted to. YouTube video on the right-hand side. So here's an example of what some student work. So on the left-hand side, you can see the picture that they took. So that's an example of bad experimental design, right? And then they talked about why it was bad experimental design. Here they showed what they thought was good experimental design. And then other students could give them a thumbs up if they agreed with how they interpreted their own design. So student feedback was a little bit better. They liked the increased amount of instruction. They thought it was very interactive. They were more engaged, possibly, than the previous experience, some students at least. But we still had connectivity issues. We were very careful about this. We thought for sure we had a good spot in the greenhouse. Went out there many times, asked the wireless guy, you know, is this good, this will be fine, and it wasn't. So we continued to have problems. And we also had, the other problem is ARIS is the app is a little unstable if you're going in and out of Wi-Fi. And that was a major problem. So we had some time to think about all these issues. So coming into 2014, Professor Michaels developed a new activity on plant morphology, and he wanted to make it a little more interesting for students, so he focused on edible plant parts. He was very, very careful about selecting areas on campus that were definitely going to have strong Wi-Fi, and he also put, he had videos associated with each of the stops along this interactive tour, and he put those videos also on the Moodle website so students could look at them before they went out if they were worried about their Wi-Fi connection, or look at them after the fact if they had problems. So here's an example. You have a map. We made sure these were in really good Wi-Fi spots, and then we had alternative delivery options. So student feedback was much better. So this student thought it was really effective to have kinesthetic learning. So we're going to throw this out because this is not a real student. Students don't talk like that, do they? I'm not sure. But, you know, working with their hands, learning, seeing, hands-on learning. Then we had some negatives. Most of the negatives had to do with the use of iOS devices. So we provided students with the option for checking out iPads and other from the library. We got money from our grant. We set up a checkout process. We went through this whole thing, and students still didn't like that. This student thought that using iOS devices in a non-IT course was unwarranted. This student didn't like walking around campus to get an iPad. Now I'm going to go quickly through some results. So the survey results. On the left, we have the first plant morphology experience. The second one is the experimental design. Then the third one is the one we made a lot of changes to for 2014. Overall, the responses were not different between the first two, but if you compare the first two with the third one, there was an increase in favorability overall in student responses. So for the question, I found the ARIS game confusing. A lot of them found it confusing the first time, not so much the second time, and then even less the third time. So we'd intentionally been more careful about instruction. More importantly, do they understand the topic better? That's what we really want to do, right? And from their perspective, we still need to assess this, but that definitely increased from year one to year two. So when we had this alternative delivery, made sure the technology was better. Directions were clear. Once again, we were more intentional this on the second experiment in 2013, so that worked. And then found the game engaging. We saw big increases after year one. So after we got rid of some of those technology issues, we saw big increases. So several challenges. One, the use of iOS devices. Setting up this checkout system was actually very complex, as many of you at a university might expect. We got it figured out, but being limited to only a certain type of device is a problem. Almost every student has some sort of smartphone or tablet or whatever, but limiting this to one type of device is a problem. So we're going to try to find, and we're starting to use other applications as well that are a little more versatile. Eventually, ARIS is probably going to be available for Android, but it might be a few years. Connectivity was a big problem. Like I said before, we had paid the university OIT to make it better. It didn't get better, so now we have to pay them again to make it better. But hopefully that'll work. And then this idea of providing the content in other locations, like the Moodle site or YouTube, seems to work pretty well. Students not understanding how to use the app. You know, we had been using a lot to develop the experiences. This is a problem. So some students were saying, you know, it's kind of silly you have to take time out of our face-to-face to talk about how to use this app that's supposed to help us learn outside of class. So like I said, we're going to try to explore some alternative delivery options. ARIS has a lot of potential, though. So if they can, you know, if that can be become a little better app, I think it's something we'll certainly use. And I've used ARIS in some turfgrass science classes as well, and I think it's been fairly effective. So next steps, we're going to continue to analyze the data we have in this fall. We're going to revise the activities for 2015, and then we're going to do a small workshop for faculty. Some of our faculty that teach a lot of plant identification and so forth have shown some interest in this kind of activity. Future research, we, as part of this project, we hope to assess the impact on student learning. So we have exam scores on certain questions from exams from 2 years ago, last year, this year, and we'll look and see if there were any gains in how students understood plant morphology or experimental design. Playing around with the idea of student-developed content, ARIS allows for these students to take notes and upload data and information. And that seems a really good way to engage students in the process, have them go out and they can collect data on your campus or whatever, and other students can comment on it. I'd like to acknowledge some help again this project from the college IT, lots of little hiccups along the way with the iPad process. Also like to thank the funding sources, USDA, and also the University of Minnesota Office of Information Technology at a Faculty Fellows program I was part of for about a year and a half. The Cultivating Change series, for those of you who are interested in teaching with technology, you might be interested in that. It's like an online book about online teaching or teaching with technology. You can just Google Cultivating Change, University of Minnesota, and you'll find it. There's several volumes and lots of interesting stories about technology use in the classroom. Okay, I'll take questions. All right. Oh, it'll work over 3G or 4G, right. So, yeah, I should explain that. So students who had iPhones, this was not a problem. The problem was students who had iPads without data, which most iPads don't have data, especially student iPads. And then also our devices that we lent out did not have data plans either because we couldn't afford them. So we were really relying on the fact that the university has a campus-wide Wi-Fi system, and they say that they're always trying to increase the outdoor Wi-Fi. But, right, it works. And if you have Wi-Fi and 3G, it works really, really well. The problem is for those students who don't have a device that allows for that. It kind of depends on the student, but we did two activities per semester, and I'd say Students should have been able to complete it in less than an hour, I'd say. Josh, would you agree? About an hour, maybe, max. So it wasn't huge. You know, they still complain a little bit about walking around campus. But that wasn't too bad. Most of the, and if it was over an hour, the time was really spent dealing with technology issues. And redoing, there was a lot of complaints about, I was here, 2 hours trying to figure out my Wi-Fi or whatever. So, yeah. Thank you.